I believe in the word, just as the one of God have said that everything boils down to the word of God. You and I, we obtain faith as a result of believing in the word of God. You and I, we come to know who Jesus is as a result of the word. You and I, we believe that God, this is who God is. This is what God is capable of doing as a result of the word of God. You and I will be able to target, strategize our prayer points according to the word of God. Amen. You and I will be able to live our lives according to the word of God. So child of God, I want you, this is what I tell people. Devote your life to become a student of the word. You can read other books, but devote your life to become a student of the word. Every day, read the Bible. Don't just read, study it. Because the Bible is the manual for life, is the manual for our existence, is the manual that the Creator has left with us. Amen. So we have no excuse for our lives to be a failure. We have no excuse for our lives to be immoral, because God has given us guidelines. God has given us instructions. God has given us wisdom. Everything is contained in this book that you and I, we call the Bible. It's not just a religious book. It's a practical book. It has the keys to success in every aspect of your life. In case you're struggling in your marriage, read the word of God. The Creator has a manual for key to success in your marriage, in your business, in your professional life, even in your own personal life, even in this church. Amen. That is how much the importance and the impact of the word of God. This is why I'm stressing on it. Amen. Because we are going to study, because when we really examine the word of God, we're able to know who God is and what God requires from you and I. Amen. This book, I am not the source. God is the source. So you're not hearing my voice. You're not hearing the preacher. You're hearing your Father who is in heaven. Amen. His voice written down. So today's topic is going to be rebuilding the house of the Lord from the book of Haggai, amen, in the Old Testament. Introduction. So the temple of God was built a long time ago, but there was an invasion of the Persian, King Darius. They invaded the children of Israel and they destroyed the temple, amen. And so the people now who came back, the Bible calls them the remnant, who came back to Judah, God expect them to rebuild the temple, but then they didn't do it. They rebelled. There was a situation. And we're going to analyze some of the messages God spoke through his prophet Haggai. Amen? So, one thing I've learned is that rebuilding anything in this life, especially when you know that you have failed the first time, things didn't work. Yes, you can get tired, but child of God, don't give up. Amen? We are in the process of trying to rebuild this church in a way that we excel, we will progress. But that rebuilding process is going to demand our investment of our time, our resources, our talents, and our gifts. Amen? So, I'm going to break down the subheadings of this message so it's easier for you guys to catch up. But the focus is going to be in the entire book of Haggai. Amen? There are two chapters, chapter 1 and chapter 2. So you don't have to go anywhere. Just stay within that book because that's where the focus is going to be. Amen? So we're going to look at, the first point is the priority of the people and the Lord. You see, we all have our own individual priorities in life. But God also has his own priority. Now, when it comes to your priority and God's priority, whose priority should you pursue? But do you know that's not the case at times? That is not the case at times, because we tend to prioritize our own plans, our own projects, and we neglect the priority of God. Amen? So let's read from Haggai chapter 1 from verse 2 to 4. So the Bible says, in Haggai chapter 1 from verse 2 to 4, thou speaks the Lord of hosts. This is now God speaking to his people, the remnant. The time has come, thou speak the Lord of hosts saying, this people says, you see, sometimes you might not voice something out, or you might say something in your heart. Do you know that God can actually read your mind? God knows exactly what you're saying. You might not voice it to God, but God knows what you have voiced out. God knows the intent of your heart. So God is saying to his servant, to speak to this people, saying that these people say. So God is just trying to let the man of God know that this is what the people are saying in their hearts. This is what they are saying among themselves. This is what they are voicing among themselves. This message came about on my bed. I didn't voice it out, but I was just thinking, I'm like, God, I'm faith in the Bible Church. What can we do to grow? What can we do for us to advance? It was a sincere and a simple question. And that's how this message came about, rebuilding the house of the Lord. Amen? So it shows that God hears your concerns. God hears your complaints. God doesn't just want you to complain and then he doesn't do anything about it, or you don't want to take any action. Yes, you bring your concerns to God. God is expecting you to work with him to come with resolutions. So these people say, the time has not come. The time that the Lord house should be built. They're trying to determine when the time to build the house of the Lord comes. Amen? Who gives them the right? You know? And then, verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for your... No, is it time for yourselves for yourselves to dwell in your panel houses and this temple lie in ruins? Okay, you're saying that it's not time for my house to be rebuilt, but it's time for your own house to be rebuilt. It's time for your own projects to get done. Just like COVID. When COVID happened, it affected everything. Amen. Churches were affected. Our work, career, everything was affected, right? Some people, after COVID, things are becoming normal again. Their focus is really on their own personal life, their own project, their career, their business. Amen. And the church that they were attending before, they didn't care. They didn't care to go back. It's okay. The church that I was going to is affected by COVID. We don't have no place of worship anymore. Instead of these people to go back and rebuild, they're looking for another church. They're looking for another church. They have prioritized making their own career, looking for a second career or whatever it is, starting a business. That's their priority. Amen? People prioritizing building their houses but procrastinate and postpone rebuilding the house of the Lord. So they prioritize taking care of themselves, but they procrastinate and postpone the work of God. We do that so many times. Oh God, we do that so many times where we prioritize our own business, our own doings, but when it comes to the things of God, we postpone it. We procrastinate. No, you know what, God? I just go to church just to sit down, occupy the pew, and then that's it. That's all. But do you know that church? We are the church. It's an organization that demands your investment in your time, your resources, your skills, your networks, your gifts. Amen? All of us make up the church. The church belongs to God. God is expecting Sister A, Brother B to contribute, because God has gifted each of us individually, uniquely, to add value to this church. Amen? So we need to prioritize that. So you see, when the people were saying that, God, it's not time for your house to be rebuilt, but God is saying that, okay, you think I'm stupid. It's not, okay, it's time for your own house to be rebuilt, which shows that the heart of the people. Sometimes our priority reveals the heart, our hearts, the treasure of our heart. What we pursue tells us what we care about. What we pursue tells us what we want to invest in, what we love, what we treasure, what we are passionate about. Because if you prioritize going to work before your children, it shows that your heart is in your work. Your heart is making money. If you prioritize other things before God, it shows that that thing is your God. God is not against you prioritizing work or whatever it is. But God is saying, in everything and in all things, I want to be first. I want to be first in your life. I want to be first in your home. I want to be first in this church. I want to be first in Canada. God does not want to take the second place, the third place. God wants to be number one. God wants to be the first and foremost in everything. That is why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first. You see how Jesus clarified this? Because when you read the context of this particular verse, Jesus was saying that, oh, human beings, you guys desire, you guys ask questions. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to drink? Or what type of job am I going to pursue? Jesus is not against all that. He's saying that, okay, it's good. But you know what? Misprioritization. Put things first. And what I want you to do is, I will give you the strategy how you can live this life effortlessly. But I want you to do what? To seek first. The word seek. That's why Jesus said first. He didn't say seek second. He didn't say seek third. He says seek first, meaning that your number one priority in life is seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then you see, God is so wise that He's saying that if you just, your heart, worship me. Don't serve two masters. Let me be your master. Let me be number one in your life. Acknowledge me in all your ways. And then guess what's going to happen? I'm going to hide all these things. I'm going to help you to achieve all these things which are secondary, because you have put me primary in your life, but you have to prioritize. You see, life revolves around God. Life does not revolve around you. It does not revolve around the pastor. It does not revolve around your children. It does not revolve around your spouse. It does not revolve around Justin Trudeau. It does not revolve around the U.S. It does not revolve around anything. It revolves around one person, and that is God. That is why God is saying that, seek me first. Amen? The people, because of their priority and preference for personal gain, for their own personal possession over the temple rebuilding, they put the work of God aside. They postpone it. It doesn't matter. But do you know that what we are putting aside is so important in your life? Because the temple, according to my research, it wasn't just an ordinary place. The Bible said is the temple is what? The house of the Lord. It's not just an ordinary house. My house is ordinary. That is why there's depression in my house. There's sadness in my house. There's addiction in my house. There's chaos in my house. There's poverty in my house. But in the house of the Lord, there's what? There's freedom. That's where the presence of God is. So, you know what you're doing? Satan was taking away what is so vital to their existence, which is the house of the Lord, which occupies the presence of God. So the temple, it was not just a physical place. The temple occupies their life, their religious life, their political life, everything about them. The temple is like the center of the nation. But they neglect, they abandon the most important aspect of the nation. That is why the Bible said, a nation cannot be established by wickedness. A person cannot be established by wickedness. Kings cannot be established by wickedness. I was listening to a U.S. commentator called Tucker Carlson. It was talking about how America have lost its authority. And he defined areas where countries can acquire authority. Number one, economical authority, political authority, military authority. And one thing that he said that is so profound, moral authority. I'm like, what? Because America was that nation that actually sponsored the work of God. So when God lifts you up, when God makes you a superpower, God will give you all this authority, moral, economical, military authority. But if you lack, what's going to bring you down? God is not going to use the political, because that can bring you down. God is going to use the moral to bring you down. If you don't stand for what is right, God will use that which you neglect to bring you down. That is why what they're doing right in America, they're the one promoting, fostering all this transgender, LGBT, all this nonsense. Now they're targeting our children, and they're telling our children they can be anything. They're losing their moral ground, and Africa has to rise up. That is why African countries, they're passing laws to go against, because the U.S., oh my God, they're so wicked that they're saying that, okay, if you pass this law, we'll give you money. You have access to IMF. But some African countries, because of the Christians, because of the religious people, because of the culture, like, no, this is not our way of life. We'd rather choose morality over money. Why am I saying this? Child of God, God wants us to seek Him first, His kingdom and His righteousness. His kingdom is His reign over us, and His righteousness is His lifestyle. Because when you pursue a king, when you come to the king's house, the king expects you to live according to his rules and regulations. God has standards how you and I are going to live in heaven. God has standards how he wants you and I to live with him. Amen? Now let's go to the other point. The problem of the people. The problem is two. One problem. The problem is they misprioritize. They focus on building their own houses. And when I look up the word panel houses, because that's what, let's go back and see. Expensive wood. Can you imagine? Expensive wood, expensive material, expensive metal. So they build their house with expensive things. And then they left the house of the Lord in ruins, in rubbish, in decay. That's what we do, child of God. We spend so much on ourselves, on our looks, on our houses. We take credit cards expensively. We do things just for our own selves. But when it comes to the Lord, even we cry just giving $10. We cry just giving a penny. We think that God is not worth our expensive contribution. God is not worth our expensive time. They built panel houses. Expensive material. Let's continue. So God is saying that these people, you guys are greedy. You guys have it, but you guys are greedy. Your focus is just on you. And then the house of the Lord is in ruins. Now look at what it says, the call to action. Consider your ways. Agai chapter 1 verse 5. Now therefore, thou says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That word consider means examine your hearts. Examine your conduct. Examine your intentions. Examine your prioritization. Go back to the drawing board and examine your life. Examine, put things in place. Do you have faith in the Bible church in your plan? Do you have your calling in your plan? Or you only have something else in your plan? Go back, consider your ways, your conduct, your decision making. Do you have God in it? Look what it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 to 41. Let us search out and examine our ways. So God is saying, you know what? I don't just want to tell you what to do, but you go back and have a reflection. To reflect if what you're doing is correct. Reflect to see if it makes sense. You want me to come true for you, but you don't want to come true for me. God is a relational God. God is a relational God. You don't want to be in a relationship where you're the only one giving. You understand? You're the only one giving. You barely receive anything. That relationship is transaction. God doesn't want a transaction relationship. He wants a relationship that is interdependent. You give and take. Look what it says. It says, let us search out and examine our ways. And then turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. God wants you to go back and search your heart, your ways. Observe them. Why are things not working in your life? Why are things not progressing? Why you don't have peace? You see, we're going to get there. I'm not saying that all the time the reason why things are not working for you is because God is punishing you. There are reasons why things might not work for you perfectly, or you might not prosper, you might not see any progress. There are many factors. Number one, it could be the devil himself. Number two, it could be your own lifestyle sin. Number three, it can also be the social status, the social condition. Number four, it can also be God himself. And I was shocked when I read this. It could actually be God himself. Now, when you identify, that's why God said, consider your ways. Go back. Okay, God, I'm trying these things. How come things are not working for me properly? How come my life is not progressing? How come there's no peace in my home? How come there's no peace? How come there's no promotion? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Consider your ways. Examine what is the factor of why things are not working. Is it because of myself, the way I'm living? Is it because of the devil? Is it because of society? Or is it because of God himself? If it's of God, God will let you know. If it's of God, God has a good outcome for it. If it's of the devil, there's no good outcome. So we're going to examine why the people were struggling. Amen? Now, let's look at the consequences of their disobedience and abandonment of the work of God. You see, when these people, when they prioritize their own project, their own life, and they abandon God's work, man, God doesn't joke. God said, okay, you know what? Go about your ways. I deliver you from Persia, the remnant. You guys are back in Judah. I helped you. You see, sometimes we tend to be very ungrateful. If God has helped you, you say, God, if you give me this job, I will give. That is why when God does, I don't tell God, God, do this for me, I'll do this for you. I don't do that anymore because I'm a liar. I'll just shut up. I'm like, God, just by your grace, you understand? Because sometimes we make God, if you give me this woman, if you give me this car, if you give me this job, if you give me this, I will do this. And then God does it. And then it becomes very hard for you to fulfill what you promised God. So it's better for you just to be quiet and say, God, by your grace, just give me the grace to do it, right? So God helped them to come back to the land. They'll just focus on building your own. If somebody has done good for you, if God has come true for you, why won't you at least do something in return for God? God is just asking for, build my project. Build my project. But that is the problem. And as a result, the experience, I'm going to list all of the things that they experience, which are the consequences of their disobedience. Number one, you have sown, I'm reading from Haggai chapter 1 verse 6, you can follow up, because it tells you all the experiences that they were experiencing. Look what it says. You have sown much and bring in little. What? You have invested much, but you bring out little. And some of us, we're in Canada. We walk like elephants and we eat like ants. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Two jobs, two shifts, hours are long, even on the weekends. Oh, my God. But then they guess the monthly expenses, just it's even more than your earnings. I have to go back to the drawing board. I have to go back and consider my ways. I'm like, God, my expenses are more than my earnings. I have to go back and consider my life, my financial status, amen, to live within my means. So these people, you have sown much and bringing little. We can actually relate with this. We can relate with this. That is why this word is very powerful for you, child of God. He said, you eat, but you do not have enough. Wow. We're in Canada. We think that, okay, we're in Canada. All should be well. We should eat and be satisfied, be better full. We should invest and bring in so much. But that's not the case. We all can attest to that. We when we come here on Friday, on Sunday, we're tired because we have been overworked or overused. But little to show for. Little to show for. That is the case. He said, you eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. You earn wages to put in your bag with holes. Can you imagine? You earn. But say, oh, God. You know, I've noticed this in my life. Whenever I plan, like I will plan, okay, God, this is how I'm going to spend my money this month. The things that I plan to spend my money on, I end up not spending my money on them. The money would, something will come that would take all of my money. And I'm asking myself, God, I need to break this pattern. Is it my rent? Okay, I need to pay my rent in advance. What else? Is it because of these small loans? I need to pay them off. So I'm trying to consider my ways. Amen? You earn wages to put into a bag with holes. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. You brought it home and it blew it away. When one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, they were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 berts from the press, they were but 20. Diminished return. You work so hard, but your return is so small. God is just giving life illustration. Be it work, be it relationship, be it whatever it is. It comes out small. The seed is still in the berm. The vine, the fig tree, The olive tree have not yielded their fruit. So we see what the people are experiencing. Lack of supply. Insufficiency. Even though they are working hard. They think that, okay, sometimes we tend to disobey God. And because we disobey God, and we want God to do something for us, and we know that we have disobeyed God, and as a result, we try to achieve that thing that we're trusting God for on our own. That's exactly the case. By working hard. When God is saying that, smart work, sweatless victory, sweatless work. But you're working hard. You're working hard, but no return. My prayer is that, child of God, as we hear this message today, God will help you and I to really understand, to be obedient, to focus, to prioritize Him. That way He can hide all these things for us. Because we're not prioritizing God, child of God. That is why we're working so hard. It's true. Sweatless victory. Amen? God Himself did this. He Himself did it. And the reason why He did it, according to Agai chapter 1 verse 9, look what it says. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you run into his own house. God is saying, the reason why you see all this problem, all these challenges, you're working hard, but you get little. You are clothed, but you're not warm. Amen? It's because you left my house in ruins. You left your calling in ruins. You left the church in ruins. You left the gospel in ruins. While you focus on building your own house, building your own life, building your own career. God did it on purpose. You see, God does not share His glory with anybody. You cannot serve two masters. Sometimes money can be a master. Oh God, you see, when God said, He didn't compare Himself with Satan. When it comes to what can capture our hearts, He compared Himself with money. See, you cannot serve two masters. Because when you have money, you will neglect God. You put God aside. When you have money is very deceptive. When you have money can blind you. Thinking that money can resolve all your problems. That is why people who are rich, celebrities who are rich, they have addiction. They are depressed. I'm asking myself, but they have all the money. They have all the houses. Why? Why? There's no life. There's no joy. So money can be very deceptive. Amen? So God is saying that, I did all this because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you run to his own house. God also did it, according to Agai chapter 2, verse 17, yet you do not turn to me. So God was doing all of these things, not because God wants to punish them, not because God wants to make things hard for them. God is saying that, I'm doing this that way you can return back to me. You can come back to your first love. Amen? You can come back to your first love. God allowed the heavens to stop raining. God allowed the hearts to refuse crops. Look what it says in Agai chapter 1 from verse 10 to 11. It says, God brought drought. I will struck you with drought on the following, on the land. The land was affected because of this. On the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth. On men, on livestock, on all the labor, oh my God, off your hands. This is serious business, serious punishment. Neglecting the work of God, because like I said, the temple was a significant center in the life of the Jewish people, in the life of the nation. Any nation that put God aside will become ruined. Any nation that put God aside, it will affect every aspect of that country. So this was a national problem. This was not just an individual problem. That is why when God sent the prophet Agai, He was saying that, I want you to speak to these three characters. Speak to Zerubbabel, who is the leader, the governor of Judah. I want you to speak to the spiritual leader, to speak to Joash, who is the priest, the high priest, not even the priest, but the high priest. And I want you to speak to the remnant of the people. So everybody was involved. Even the priest was building his own house. Even the governor was building his own house. The people were ordinary people. They were building their own house. Everybody was doing their own thing. The pastors were doing their own thing. The president, the leaders were doing their own thing. They neglect a national concern. Look what's happening in our country, Sierra Leone, and in some places in Africa. Kush, affecting, killing innocent people, children, everybody, adults, young people. It's a national problem. Look what's happening in Canada. It's a national problem. Housing crisis, refugee crisis. He has to be dealt with. So in this time, they had a national problem. They didn't build the house of the Lord. And as a result, God struck them with drought, dryness. Nothing is working on the land, on the mountains, on their produce, on their hustle. on your livestock, everything, your investment, everything. Amen? Now let's go to the project of the Lord. So after God has said all these things, he said, I want you guys to consider your ways. Meaning that reflect on what you're experiencing. You have had enough of working for little. And I'm telling you why things are not working for you. Because you have left your first priority. You have abandoned my project, right? So let's look at the project of the Lord. The Lord's house. Like I was saying that the temple was the center of the Jewish life. Everything revolves around the temple. Politically, religiously. Amen? The temple was the place where God dwelled with his people in a meaningful fellowship. So that is why it was so important. Because God was saying that, secure my presence first. And then everything else come. But if you fail to secure my presence, everything else you do will fail. You might think you're winning, but believe in me, it's not going to stand. God is saying that, go back and put me first. Go back and put me first nationally. Go back and put me first in your family. Go back and put me first in this church. Go back and put me first in your life. Or else, what's going to happen? Consequences. Amen? He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. Just like a woman can be jealous, a man can be jealous, God also can be jealous, especially because that's how much God loves us. God doesn't want to share you with anybody. I'm telling you. He's a passionate lover. He killed his own son for you. That's how, oh my God, that's how deep the love of God is. Amen? Now, look what it says. God's command the people now to start rebuilding his house. He said to the people, we're going to read from Agai. Go up to the mountains and bring wood. Now focus on my project. Get up. The work of God demands you to get up. Church work is not easy. Because we're human beings. Somebody has to go get by this PA system, this keyboard. Somebody has to clean the church. That is God's work. It demands you and I to get up and do something. Amen? He was telling his people, everybody, including the governor, the high priest, everybody involved, not just the people. Everybody, get involved. He said, get up, go up to the mountains, and do what? And bring wood. Everybody, do it. It's a national problem. If you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. I want everybody to get up. Everybody, young, old, high priest, governor, whatever you are. It doesn't matter your status. This is a national. See, when something happens, you think that only affects unbelievers. It doesn't affect the believers. Just like COVID. That's what we have to go back and take our society. That's what we have to go back and take our values. You might think, what the social media, the government, the education institution, they're doing to our children. You think it's not going to affect the church? We're going to have youth who are going to come to church and then they will deny the gospel. They will tell you that, no. How do I believe that I'm a male and female? That God created male and female? Because the church have not stood up. The church have not defended the children. When there's a national crisis. So God is saying, enough of this. Get up, go to the mountain and bring wood. And do what? Build the temple. That is my prayer. That's what I want you to do. Build the temple. Enough of your excuses. Enough of focusing on your own. Now work with me to build the most important thing in your life, which is to secure my presence. Because when you have the temple of God, the physical structure, it is where the presence of the God manifests. The church is where the presence of God is. That is why you and I, we come to church on Friday, on Sundays, because why? We want to be in the presence of God. When we are in the presence of God, when we go back, we are revitalized. When we go back, we are strong. When we go back, we are bold. When we go back, we are strengthened. When we go back, we are motivated. When we go back, we are encouraged. Because why? We have come to the presence of God. We have experienced the presence of God. So God wants to prioritize his presence. Guess what? It's for your own good. Mashakayaraba. It's for your own good, child of God. Because God knows that man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from his mouth. Amen? So, and another reason why God emphasized that, get up, go to the mountain, get the wood, and build my temple. God is going to give us the reasons. He said, why the importance and the impact of the house of the Lord. Number one, the Lord takes pleasure in his temple. Number two, The Lord is glorified in his temple. Number three, the Lord will give peace in his temple. You see, the temple is a place where when you meet God, when you are in the presence of the Lord, everything just becomes shalom, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. When we come to church, we expect church to be like heaven. You understand? Because why? Because that's where God is. That's where the presence of God is. Bible says in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. Amen? So God is saying, I'm telling you how important and impactful my house is. If you focus on building my house, number one, I will take pleasure in it. When God takes pleasure in something, man, when you are delighted in something, you will spend money to have that delight. When God takes pleasure in his temple, in his house being built, he will do anything for the people who are there because he takes pleasure in it. Amen? And then the Lord said, if you guys accomplish my house, my temple, I will glorify myself. The glory of God is the presence of God, the Shekinah glory, the magnitude of God, which brings the power of God. So you want to see my glory? You want to see my presence? You want to see my power? Build my house. Again, the temple of God, the house of the Lord, we can differentiate in three ways. In the Old Testament, it was a temple, a physical structure. In our time, as believers, the church, a Christian organization like Faith in the Bible Church. But number three, you as an individual, you are the temple of God. So if you don't focus on building your spiritual life, you will also die. You will also decline. Yes, you go to work. Guess what? You go to work, but that work will not bring satisfaction. Believe me, I remember one time, one period of my life where my focus was just money, money, work, work, work. I came back with zero. But when I put God in place, when I put God, I'm like, God, you know what? You are number one. Whenever there's an opportunity to come and preach, I will preach. Whenever there's an opportunity to come to church, I will do that. When I've done that, I see that God, my money's not just going out of my pocket. It's actually staying in my pocket. Amen? So you are the temple. Build your spiritual life so that whatever you're doing, don't disappear. Like, for example, I'm like, God, I was planning this message since yesterday and today. Even this morning, I woke up early. I'm like, God, you know what? I have to put you first. I have work to do. My career, work to do. I'm like, you know what? No, I have to do the work of God. And my God, I pile up all of my work. I said, God, me and you will go and do this tomorrow. We'll go and handle this work tomorrow. Amen? But if I was just concerned, I'm like, oh, God, you know what? My boss, number one. And then go number two. No. God is number one. Your boss is number two. When I had that mindset, my boss doesn't stress me anymore. I'm like, you know what? Me and God will do it. Me and God will do it. I need to focus on the work of God. Amen? When you put God number one, God, the Bible said, I will add all things to you. I will add strength to you to do your job. I will add peace to you to run your business. I will add everything to you. But you have to do what? Seek me first, my kingdom and my righteousness. Build my temple. Build Faith in the Bible Church. Build your personal life. And then I will add everything to you. Amen? So, let's go to the other point. The performance, I'm almost there. The performance of the Lord's command from the people. So God commanded them, guys, go to the mountain, bring the wood, build my temple. Look what it says in Agai chapter 1, verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Agai the prophet, as the Lord your God has sent him, and the people fear the presence of the Lord. Amen? So we see that this commandment, like I was saying, this commandment was not just for the masses, was not just for the remnant. Amen? Even the leader, the governor was involved. Even the spiritual leader, the high priest was also involved. Amen? He said, everybody, because it's a national issue. It's a national problem that everybody needs to, oh my God. You see, if you want to build a nation, if you want to build a nation very fast, Don't rely on the government alone. Don't depend on the president alone. If you as a citizen see that for Canada to improve, for Canada to become better, you have to play your role. That is why I think it was JFK that says, "My fellow Americans, don't ask what Americans can do for you, but ask what you can do for America." We ask so many times what Canada can do for us: the welfare checks, the tax deductions. But we never ask what we can do for Canada. That's why we got it all wrong. That's why we got it all wrong. Amen? Ask what you can do for the house of the Lord. Don't ask what pastor can do for you. When we come to church, oh, pastor, today I'm sick. What pastor can do for me? If you have that mindset, okay, coming to church, what pastor can do for you or what God can do for you, and you don't even think about what you can do for God or what you can do for 15 Bible Church, you have a selfish mindset. Amen? God is saying that this is a national problem. Everybody gets involved. Everybody gets on board. I don't care if you're the leader. I don't care if you're the priest. I don't care if you're a poor man, you're a rich man. Get involved. Make a difference. Believe in me, if Africans, we have that mindset that, you know what, I'm tired of blaming the government, I'm tired of blaming the churches, I'm tired of blaming institutions, you know what, I am going to stand up because I know that I'm a man of purpose and I will do my part. God is not expecting you to solve the whole problem. But you see, when each of us play our role in this church, believe in me, Brother Alex, you contribute, Madam Agnes, you contribute, Sister Judith, you contribute, we all contribute, believe in me, God begin to hard. We all can make a difference. We are all assets. We are all valuable. We are all significant. But we don't know ourselves. We don't know our worth. God is saying that the remnant, you can play a role. The governor, you can play a role. The high priest, you can play a role. The prophet was also playing his role. By doing what? Delivering the message. Amen? He has his role to play. Everybody was on board. And look at the response of the people. The people obey the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of the man of God. Amen? And the people fear the presence of the Lord. They obeyed. God said, you know what, guys? Misprioritization. Focus on building my work now. You see, obedience yields to activation. When you obey God, it starts something. So when the people said, okay, God, we have heard you. You see, God speaks. God has concerns. Sometimes you think that God just is mumu. God is not mumu. If something is bothering God, God will say it out. He will say it out in many ways. He will use people to come and convict you. He will use yourself. If you don't want to listen, he will use you. If you don't want to listen to yourself, then he will use somebody else. You understand? It's kind of strange how God does that. Amen? So the people obey the voice of the Lord and they fear the presence of the Lord. Amen? Now, because of their obedience, that's when God began to work. Child of God, just one act of obedience. You might think, okay, God, how are we going to build faith in the Bible church? How are we going to take this church from 50 people to 100, from 100 to $1,000? Oh, do we need to do so many things? Just one tiny act of obedience. Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed and say to this mountain, be removed, it will be removed. When they obey God, this is what happened. The presence of the Lord. Amen? Look at his encouragement. He reassured them of his presence. He says in Agai chapter 1, verse 12, verse 13, then Agai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So God reassured his presence by saying that I am with you. That word is powerful because God said, I am that I am. When you have the I am with you, meaning that you are capable of anything. He said, I am with you. When somebody is with you, meaning that that person is actually beside you, that you're not doing this alone. You see, sometimes we try to complicate life. God is saying that I want you to walk this life with me. I want to walk this life with you. Don't do this life by yourself. You're carrying all that burden by yourself. You're doing church work all by yourself. You're stressing yourself all by yourself. You're raising your children all by yourself. You exclude me. But God is saying that in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge me and I will direct your path. In all your ways, child of God, all your ways. Why are we stressing as Christians? Why are we taking the load on ourselves? When Jesus said, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Find rest in me. I've learned, child of God. You know what? I'm like, God, the covenant of peace, no man will take it away from me. Even myself too. I'm like, God, if I'm the one causing myself taking my peace, God, do something. I won't allow nobody to stress me. Because, oh my God, health, peace is very important. Each day, do your best. Whatever you can do, leave the rest to God. I'm telling you, when I go to work, sometimes I had this mindset that I have to finish all the work. Like, I have to finish the entire work for this year. I have to finish it today. You understand? Thinking I'm Superman. God was telling me that. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today itself, it's on its own. Deal with today. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Let me just deal with whatever I can do today. And I told my manager, you know what? We'll leave the rest for tomorrow. We'll come again. Leave it for tomorrow. Come again. Leave it for tomorrow. You understand? Leave it for what? For tomorrow. So when they obey God, God encouraged them. by reassuring that I am with you. Amen? See, God is saying that I am part of this. I know it's a big project, but I'm with you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you. Amen? And then his empowerment, he revived. Look what it says in Agai chapter 1, verse 4. So the Lord stir up. When he stirs something, means you move, you arose, you cause something to happen. Amen? You see, when they obey God, you can obey God, but you might not have the desire to do what God wants you to do. Hey, God. You might say, God, I will do it because you're afraid. Sometimes we obey God because we're afraid. We don't want to suffer the consequences of our disobedience. Amen? But God is saying that I'm not just going to limit it just for you to fear me, but I'm going to give you what? The passion! I'm going to give you the desire! I'm going to give you the affection for the things of God. I'm going to give you the desire for me. The Bible says that God stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Everybody was disgruntled. Every one of them, they were all discouraged. But God did what? Stir up their spirits. Even the governor's spirit needs to be stirred. Even the religious leader, the priest himself, was discouraged. God stirred up his spirit, arose his spirit. You know, church work can be very tiresome at times. Let's be real. Church work is not a child's play. Believe me, ask Judith. Ask Pastor. All of us. Church work is not a child's play. Anything that you do for God, it's not going to be easy. Developing your character. Hey, reframe it. I came home to my roommate. We had a misunderstanding, and I wanted to lash out, but something just controlled me. He said, no, don't lash out. You know, when you maximize your voice, and then God is speaking, minimize it, or else we escalate, you understand? So I minimized it immediately. I said, God, thank you. That's going to happen, because God is saying that, yes, this flesh things are going to come up, but my spirit will, when you yield to my spirit, when you submit to me, believe in me, it works perfectly. God is not saying that you're not going to be tempted, because sometimes, oh God, as long as you live in this world, you're going to come across temptation. People are going to offend you. You understand? But what God is saying, that don't yield to it, resist them. First, you have to submit to me, and then when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Amen? So all of them needed to be revived. God gave them the passion. God awakens in the people that intense desire for his work to rebuild his temple. And that's my prayer, that God will create that revival in each of us to rebuild faith in the Bible Church. To believe God for growth. To believe God for abundance. To believe God for a new place. I believe that. I believe that, because if God can do for his children, he can also do for us. Amen? Another thing that God did for them, Agai chapter 2 verse 4, I read, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all you people, says the Lord, and walk, for I am with you." You see, God speaks encouragement, empowerment to these people. He said, "I want you to be strong." Because it's going to take strength and courage, especially when you have done something for long and you have not seen any outcome, any result, any reward. You're discouraged. When you serve God, you don't see your life changing. I think I was in the washroom. I'm like, God, you know what? Because I used to come like, God, I don't think my life has changed. I'm the same old Brian. Nothing has changed in me. There's no character. There's nothing. I'm still the same person. God just rebuked me. He said, "You, I know you very well that when something happens, you will backfire. But you were able to restrain yourself. That's progress. That's progress. You know, that's progress. You might not see the progress in your life vividly, but inside, just your character, just your action, just your response. When somebody's talking to you, you don't take it personally. That's character. Character development is progress. Amen. So God is saying that, I know you guys are discouraged. Everybody's discouraged. Everybody's weak. But God is saying that, be strong. Be strong and go do this work. For I am what? With you. And the Bible says, in Chronicles, don't be strong. Don't let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Sometimes our hands can be weak in doing the work of God. Our hands can be weak in fulfilling our purpose. Our hands can be weak in whatever. But God is saying, don't let your hands be weak. Be strong, for your work shall be rewarded. God is a faithful master. Amen. He's a faithful master. He rewards you if you're a faithful servant. Amen. So God told his people, be strong to the governor, be strong to the high priest, be strong to all the people in the land, for what I am with you. And then look what it says in verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. So God is saying that, oh, I'm not only going to be with you, but my spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, is going to be among you. Child of God, we have the Holy Spirit in us. The Bible said, greater is he that is in us. So we cannot fail. You see, church work requires spiritual things. That is why Jesus said, I will send the paraclete, the helper. So for us to build this church, we need who? The Holy Spirit. For us to build our spiritual life, we need who? The Holy Spirit. So you have the resources available. So don't. That's why I keep saying, don't kill yourself. Don't stress yourself. Don't stress yourself. When you don't know how to do something, then God, give me the strength. God, give me the grace. And God will do it. If you acknowledge him, amen, he will direct your path. So God said, my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. He says, child of God, sometimes fear can be an obstacle to start anything. Now, right now, you hear this message. Okay, God, what can I contribute to Faith in the Bible Church? Oh, I don't know how to sing. I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. But what can I do? That's fear speaking in your head. That's doubt speaking in your head. Just forget fear. Say, oh, God, I've heard your message. God, give me a call of action. Give me a call of action in whatever capacity that I can do. Give me a call of action. Amen? But look what it says in Psalm chapter 110, verse 3. Your people shall be willing in the days of your power. So in the days of God's power, which is now, because the people said, God, we obey you. When you obey God, obedience activates something. When you obey God, it activates his presence on your life. When you obey God, it activates his power upon your life. Why? You have to be obedient. And then God, his power now will make you be willing. Because again, child of God, you can be obedient, but in your heart, you're saying that, God, I want to leave this place. God, I want to leave this job. I want to leave this organization. I want to leave this type of project. But in the days of power, God will strengthen you. Amen? Now, let's look at the other point, the participation from the people. Look what it says in Agai chapter 1:7-8. Then thou says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountains and bring the wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. So God instructed them to go, all of them, not just the people itself, but the governor, the priest, all of everybody to get involved, to take part in building this project. Amen? And then look what it says in Agai chapter 2, verse 4. And be strong, Joash, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord. So the emphasis here, God is saying that I want you to be strong and work. Be strong and work. Use that strength that God has given you to work. So God is not trying to burden you. That's one thing I've learned. God is trying to make things easier for you. That is why God said, I am with you. You're not going to build this church by yourself. Pastor is not going to build this church by himself. We're not going to build Faith in the Bible Church by yourself. You're not going to build your own life by yourself. Because why? God said, I am with who? With you. Amen? Now let's look at, we're almost there, child of God. Let's go to Ezekiel, Agai chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. God is actually asking them a question. This is what we call the probing of the people. God is saying, okay, who is left among you? The temple before it was destroyed. Who saw the temple in its former glory? How do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Oh God. So they were looking at the past glory, the past temple. God is asking them questions. Who is left among you? Who is alive to see the past glory, the past temple, when the temple was erected? But now the temple lies in ruins. But I'm encouraging you guys to rebuild it. But who remember the past glory of the temple? Who remember what Faith in the Bible Church used to be? Who remember what your life used to be when you were on fire for God? When you're serious, you know, sometimes we give our life to Jesus Christ. At that, maybe how many weeks, how many months? You're on fire for God. You're on fire for God. Everything is rosy. When you start getting attacked, like, God, this is for real. You're shocked. You're shocked. You want to escape. You know, when you give your life to Jesus, everything was working well. Everything that you prayed for. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus, I said, God, I just moved to Toronto from Ottawa. And I gave my life to Jesus in Toronto. And one week, everything was going well. I was able to go back to school, finish my high school. I got a job. Everything is like I was in heaven. After 2 weeks, I slept at night. I started having dreams. Somebody started to shock me. I'm like, God, I've never had this dream before. When I was an unbeliever, I've never seen somebody try to choke me. I said, God, are you for real? Or somebody's trying to choke me in my dream, you know? I became scared. I'm like, what? Things just become upside down. I said, no, what? I said, God, are you for real? This is what Christianity is not easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not easy, you know? But God does not want us to give up, amen? So God was saying that, okay, the past glory, the past temple, who is left among you? Who is alive to witness how the temple was? Temple before it was destroyed. How it was before. How fit in the Bible church we had so many people. How it was before. Your life, you were on fire for God. You could pray. You could read the Bible. But because of circumstances, you're trusting God for something. And now you doubt God. As if God does not love you. You question God. You question your salvation. You question the church. You question everything. Child of God. I understand. That's part of life. That's part of our human nature. Amen? So God is saying that, who saw this temple in its former glory? It's always good to go back to your past and reflect and see what God has done. What is really helping me personally, I want to share with you guys, is that David said, don't forget your testimonies of yesterday. Remember what God has done for you. The reason why David was able to confront Goliath is as a result of his past victory. He said, this God who saved me, who helped me to conquer the lion, to conquer the bear against my sheep, the same God who helped me to defeat this uncircumcised Philistine. Child of God, don't forget about the miracle of yesterday. Don't forget about the intervention of God of yesterday in your life. That's going to help you to face your present situation. That's going to help you to face anything that comes tomorrow. God is trying to encourage him that this temple was built before, right? Were you alive when this temple was built before? Do you see its glory? Do you see my presence in that temple? Do you see what I was doing? Were you there? Yeah, I was there. Then I want that same experience for you. I want that same experience. Remember, child of God, when somebody backslide, when God tried to bring them back, God will remind them that go back. That's why Jesus said, go back to your first love. Go back to that experience. That's why David said, come and taste for yourself that God is good. When if God was sweet to you, and right now things are bitter, you reflect back on that sweetness and say, I remember those days. I used to pray. I used to fast. I remember those days. My life was all right. But you know what? This is just a temporary condition, and no condition is permanent. You reflect on the past, and then you trust God. The God of yesterday is the same God of today, is the same God of tomorrow. Amen? So we're saying that, go back and reflect. Or do you see it now? I want you to envision this temple, how it's going to be. I want you to envision what faith in the Bible church is going to be. We have envisioned it in the past. Yes, we have so many people. But now God wants us to envision it in a positive way. Envision your life. Yes, things were working out for you. You had money. You had everything. But now things are not working. God is saying, I want you to be positive. I want you to envision the future. Amen? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Now, they look at their present temple. It's in ruins. It's nothing. We can't build better than what our fathers built in the past. We can't do better than what we did in the past. Oh, child of God. Oh, God. In this life, you can do better than what other people have done in the past if you really focus. Because you can learn from what? From the past. And do what? And build better in the present for the future. But most times we say, you know what? Those in the past, they are better at what they have done than we in the present. He said, compare, child of God. Compare. Ask these questions. Have you seen the first temple? Solomon's temple? It was beautiful. It was magnificent. Compared to what you're seeing right now. It's ruins. It's nothing. Your marriage is ruined. The church is not working. Your children, they are misbehaving. Nothing is working in your life. It's like your life is a chaos. But God is saying, but remember, your life has not always been like this. There were instances in your life where you enjoy miracles, where you had money. Amen? Sometimes we complain that, oh, my life is always like this. It's a lie. Your life is not always like that. But if you choose for your life to always be like that, then good for you. Amen? It's a choice. Let me read this. Usually, the work we do for God is not as big as we want it to be, nor is it as perfect as we want it to be. In the same way, the prophet Agai was encouraging the people not to look at the present size or beauty of the temple. He wanted them to focus their attention on the future temple and what a glorious thing it will be. That future temple that the new heaven will come, the new Jerusalem will come when Jesus comes. Because when Jesus comes, when the new temple comes, and everything will be perfect. So now whatever you do might not be perfect. It's okay. Because you're still a flawed human being saved by grace. Amen? So now let's look at the purity of the people. God is saying, I want you to build the temple. Again, like I said, the temple was the physical structure. But now you, my children, children of Israel, you are also the temple. Your life is a temple. We as Christians, our life is a temple. And we should not defile our temple. So God asked the priest these questions. And the questions were actually directed to the priest because the priest, the high priest, was responsible for the moral, the ritual laws. God said, I want you to examine the spiritual and the moral condition of my people. The first question is, if one of you is carrying some meat in your robe to be sacrificed to God, and the clothing rubs against some bread or stew or wine or olive oil or some food, will those food that were touched by be acceptable for sacrifice? So God is addressing, posing this question to the priest, saying that, let me read again. If one of you, meaning that anybody, is carrying some meat, you have meat, let's say in your hand or on your head, and carrying some meat in your robe, so you had that meat in your robe, your cloth, to be sacrificed. So the purpose of you carrying that meat is for that meat to be sacrificed, right? So you have that meat, right? And the clothing rubs against some bread or stew or wine or olive oil or some food. Will those foods, meaning that your raw meat that you wanted to go sacrifice, like cross-contamination in food, hospitality, when you have raw materials crossing over cooked food, right? It becomes bad. So God is saying that you carry a meat to sacrifice to the temple. But then, accidentally, your clothes that you had the meat on rubs against bread. It could be bread. It could be stew. It could be wine. It could be olive oil. It could be some food. It could be anything. And it touched. Would that be acceptable for sacrifice? That's the question that he asked the priest. Would that still be acceptable for sacrifice? Look what the priest says. He said, no. Even though you had something to offer to sacrifice, but something happens. Your sacrifice rubbed on something. God saying, is that sacrifice still worthy to be accepted? According to the priest said, no. The second question. If someone becomes ceremonially unclean, again, by touching a dead body, and then brushes against those foods, will the meat for sacrifice be defiled? Let's say, again, you have your meat to sacrifice, and then you contact a dead body. You contact a dead body. And you know what the priest answered? He said, it shall be unclean. No, you shall be unclean. Because according to Leviticus 22, verse 1 to 91, you have to read that. When a person comes in contact with a dead body, it pollutes everything else, according to the law. Again, the temple was the place where sacrifices were made for their sins. And you can't just take any sacrifice. It has to be a sacrifice that is spotless, no contact with anything. God is asking the priest, will this be acceptable? He said, no. Now, let's go on. Look what it says. Then Agai, the prophet of the Lord, answered the people. Okay, priest, you have answered. So is this people. So is this nation before me. So is every work of their hands. What? And what they offer there is unclean. The people are defiled. Let me say that again. So God is saying that, priest, the high priest, the religious leader, you have answered well. But guess what? So is this people. So is this nation before me. So is every work of their hands. And what they offer there is unclean. The people are defiled. God is now addressing them from as a nation, as a people, to their individual hustle, that everything is unclean. The people have defiled themselves. Our lifestyle, our character, our attitude, our attribute matters to God. Our inputs, when we come to church, our sacrifice of praise, our sacrifice of prayer, our sacrifice of the word, if it's not clean, it cannot be acceptable. So God is not just saying, oh, build a temple, then that's it. No, because you are the temple. The content that you bring to the temple has to be holy. Because God is holy, because that's God's place. That's God's place. The last time I preached about who can abide in the presence of the Lord. You have to do what? Have a clean hand and a pure heart. That's exactly what God is saying, that if you want to abide in my presence, your life matters. Your lifestyle matters. One little sin pollutes all that it touches. One little wrong action corrupts your entire life. I've learned, child of God, that our action, either right or wrong, can have a drastic and detrimental impact on others. You might think that, okay, oh, it's just me. Oh, that sin is only offending me. That sin of immorality, it's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your relationship. Oh, I'm the pastor. I can just do whatever I want to do. It's going to affect the entire church. Sin, because of one man, Adam, because of Adam, just rebellious, Adam and Eve, just refusing to obey God and eat that apple, whatever. I don't know if it's an apple. Because of that, just the one sin, it affected the entire human race. Now, glory be to God, because of one man, because of his sacrifice. That is why Christianity is different from other religion. Which makes sense. Because of one man, sin affected the entire human race. Because of another man, one man's sacrifice. Hey, every human being is saved. Amen? Every human being is saved. You see, God made it so equal. Because of one sin, anything is affected. It pollutes everything. But because of Jesus Christ, who's going to be the glory of the temple, everything is going to be perfect. Amen? So let's continue. Now, from this day forward, so after God has given them all the questions, now God is saying, from this day forward, God is looking for a new day. According to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, the Bible said, behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So God promised to restore his people. He promised to restore his people. Amen? And this is what God is going to do. Let's read Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. Now we're almost there. For thou says the Lord of hosts, once more, it's a little while, I will shake heaven and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. All in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now, child of God, look at all the blessings that God is going to give us. This is beautiful. I'm just going to go over them. Amen? That way we see that. Number one, God said, I'm going to shake the heaven. Because know what God did? God stopped the heaven from raining down its dew. God stopped the earth from being fruitful. He said, I will shake what I've stopped. I will tell the earth, continue to do what you have to do. I will speak to the heaven, do what you have to do. I will speak to the sea, do what you have to do. I will speak to the dry land. And I will also shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. So this is a prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, because when he comes, all the nations will be attracted to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will have the final authority over all nations. That's why Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Amen? So God is going to make this church an attraction in our community that people will see and that they'll be drawn towards Jesus Christ. Amen? And look what it says, I will fill this temple with my glory, meaning that God is saying, not just with physical things that I will fill this temple with beautiful things, with gold and silver, but I will fill this temple with my glory, with my Shekinah glory, with my presence. When we obey God, when we serve God, when we build the church of God, believe me, God is going to fill this place with his presence, with his glory. Amen? And then look what it says. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. So God is saying that I don't like any resources. I could actually build this temple with gold. Just build it. Just obey me. Just build it. It's not about the building itself. It's about who is in that building that matters. I'm telling you. So our life is nothing. But that's why the Bible said, greater is he that is in us. What makes you important is not because of you. What makes you important is because of who is in you. Amen? And look what it says. It said, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. So God is saying that, okay, forget about the past glory, but the future glory will be what? Greater. It will be true in our lives. You might think, God, you know, I was a bum yesterday, but today, I'm not a bum. Do you see? When you look at your life, who you were when you were an unbeliever, now that you're a believer, you appreciate God. Like, ah, God, do I used to be like that? I used to be that type of person? Sometimes when I reflect upon my life when I was an unbeliever, and now I'm like, wow, can this be me? I'm shocked. Why do I have such a mindset? Why do I value this? Some of the things that I value now, but Alex, you'd be like, no, Brian, I know you very well. I don't think you value these type of things. It's a blessing. It's actually a miracle. Same with our life. God is saying that your past glory, your future glory will be greater than your past glory. Just obey me, do my work, be my temple. Amen? Now, we're gonna be done. The position of authority in the land. So now, this is where I'm going to stop. So after God has done everything, God has blessed the people, now God now was speaking to the leader, the governor. Because the leaders sometimes, they take the onus. They take the responsibility. That is why, child of God, we have to pray for our leaders. As the leader is, so is the nation. As the pastor is, so are the members. As the father is, so is the house. I'm telling you. So now God is addressed because God knows the power of rulership. The leader should have been the one to authorize the rebuilding of the temple or the priest. Not the prophet. But the leader was actually focusing on building his own house. That's exactly what African leaders, they do. That's what they do. They focus on building their own houses. The money that they receive that is supposed to build infrastructure, social services, they use that money to build big houses. Despite his failure, Zerubbabel, to lead the people to finish the temple, because he obeyed God, and he feared God, God said, know what? I still choose you as my chosen servant. Amen? And I will bless you with power, protection, and victory. Now, look what it says. We're going to read. Let's read it. We're almost done, child of God. Let's go back what God said to Zerubbabel. Are you blessed today? Amen, amen. We're almost there. Let me see now. This is God speaking specifically to Zerubbabel. And again, the word of the Lord came to Agai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord. God was giving the leader a second chance. Amen? He was giving the leader his circumstance. He was saying, that, you know what? I'm going to make you victorious. How am I going to do it? I'm going to shake the heavens. I'm going to overthrow kingdoms. I'm going to destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. Amen? Because Israel was invaded by the Gentile world. But God is saying, I'm going to reverse that for you. Amen? And then finally, God said, I'm going to appoint you and I'm going to give you authority. Because signet ring is the note authority. Amen? When you read the book of Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 24 to 30, Jeconiah had that ring before, but it was plucked out from him. So now God is actually reversing the course, because he cursed David's line because of this king. So God plucked out the ring, the signet ring, which signifies authority, kingly authority. He took it from Jeconiah, right? But now God actually is prophesying to Zerubbabel that, you know what? I am going to make you a signet, a seal ring. When you read the book of Matthew chapter 1 verse 12 to 13, because this king is very significant. That's why I'm telling you guys this. If you read Luke chapter 3 verse 27, this king is actually in the lineage of Jesus Christ. That's what makes a difference. Zerubbabel is in the line of the Messiah, because God said, I will make you a signet line. Because David's line was running, but one of the king now, God plucked out that seal. Now God is doing what? Reversing the course. How is this applicable in our lives? Maybe something would have been plucked out of our lives. Something would have happened in this church. We don't know what it is. But God is saying that I will restore whatever it is that has been taken away from you, has been taken away from this church. Amen? If God can do it for this leader, he can also do it for us. Amen? And look what it says. For I have chosen you. And why is God doing that? Because God have chosen him. You see, when God chooses you, child of God, you have no choice. No power can snatch you away from God's hand. No one can snatch you away from God's hand. He said, I have chosen you, my servant. So our leader is God's servant. God has chosen Pastor Adolphus. God has chosen us as ministers, as his servants, ministers, to serve him. And whatever that has been taken away from us, our glory, our virtue, our power, our destiny, God will restore in the name of Jesus. Conclusion. Child of God, if you and I want to return, rebuilding the house of the Lord, we have to start with repentance from our sins, renewing our attitude towards the will and the word of God, and resilience in our work with God. We have to repent from our sins. We have to renew our attitude, how we see the work of God, that the work of God is something of great value. There's benefit in the work of God, because like I said, it is where God said, I will bring peace in this place. You see my glory. I will fill this temple with my glory. Amen? And I will take pleasure in it. So we have to change our attitude when we come to church. Wow, we're coming to a special place. We're working for the CEO of creation. Amen? The chief executive officer of Faith in the Bible Church. Amen? That's who we're working for. Just to encourage you, don't allow fear to be an obstacle in pursuing what God is saying. Let us operate by faith. We might be small, but we can conquer with faith. Amen? We can conquer with faith because we have the Word of God, we have His covenant, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we shall fear nothing. When we prioritize the work of God, God will ensure peace and prosperity in our lives. So for us to have peace and prosperity, we have to do what? Prioritize the work of God. And Jesus' last word in this message says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against me. Amen? Against it, against us, against Faith in the Bible Church, against your life. The gate of Hades shall never prevail, because Jesus is the master builder, is the pillar, amen, that holds our life. So